This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What?
We got to play this. This is great. This high school, it's a Clearview. Is Clearview in Houston? It sounds like someplace that would be here, but I don't know if it is.
Clearview sounds like Dallas to me.
There's a Clearview in the Bay Area, like Webster.
That's what I thought. I wonder if it's here. There's a video of a high school announcer announcing the starting lineup.
Oh, he's screaming it?
For the basketball team. There's hardly anybody in the stands. And
it's 11:30 Saturday game. 11:30 a.m.
And this guy's like, this is his time to shine. You know this guy means everything.
Oh, my God. Well, he wants to be
Matt Thomas's job. He wants Matt Thomas's job.
Let's see if he can do it. You got it, though? Let's see if he can do Matt Thomas.
Now, imagine, if you will, there's about 13 people in the stands. That's it. That's not an exaggeration. There's about 13 people in the stands. It's a small gym, too. So it looks like maybe a junior high gym. But it's a high school game. It's a small gym. There's about 13 people in the stands. If I remember correctly, there's some cheerleaders. And the players come out after they're announced. And they'll run through the cheerleaders. And, you know, that's basically what we're talking about. And then it's the announcer, though, that really shines in this one. The guy he's late to record.
6'5" forward, sophomore, number 25, Justin McNichols! The Pioneers are coached by the one, the only,
That dude is awesome.
We gotta get it.
Clearview. I mean, what is it? One of the Clear Creeks?
No, but it looks like this is from New York, though.
Oh. Oh, man. I was going to say, we got to get that kid on.
Whoever that kid
He's
was.
He's awesome.
He's got a very definite. Oh, shoot.
Oh, Van Gundy, you missed him.
God dang it.
Did he call you?
Yeah.
Nice job. I told you, send it to Dell, and we would have it. Did you, Dell, you never got it, did you? Van Gundy is on right now with us. Jeff Van Gundy with us right here on ESPN 97.5. Oh, that's right. No, we forgot.
Oh, Lance.
Oh, well. Well, he can't do it now?
You calling, question mark?
Yeah.
Okay, we will do it another day.
Nice. Well done.
Nice job, Lance.
Well played, sir. Well played. We would have had Jeff Van Gundy on.
But Lance just completely forgot to, send it to the person who would make the call.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I told. Before the show started, I said, just send it in a group text.
And Dell will make sure. It's 7:14. I even said, I got to make sure that we call. Remind.
And I told you, send it to Dell. And Dell will
You could have told me that, hey, we're going to have Van Gundy on. I probably would have remembered it and reminded. Actually, I have his number, so I would have been able to call him. Just tell me these things.
That's all. That's all you have to do. No, that's it. That's good, Brady. That's good, Brady. Yeah. We will have Jeff Van Gundy on sometime if we remember to call him.
Lance remembers to tell people.
I even said, here, look what he says. Look what I gave him. Look at the last sentence I gave him.
I didn't have Dell call. That's on me. That is on you.
I went.
Damn it. Okay, we will do it another day. Oh, well played, sir. We could have talked Rockets back. Oh, by the way,
we need to do it? And I said that was
ask
on me.
Ask him for Friday.
I'm not going to text him now.
No,
it's too
I'm
late.
Off Friday. I'm off Friday. Don't do it Friday because Thursday is trade deadline.
You know what would be good to get him on today?
How about Thursday morning? Ask him if he can do it Thursday morning.
I could have asked him if he would, like, if you would ever be stupid enough To, yeah, you ask him just because I'm too embarrassed.
I'm just too embarrassed.
You ask him if he would ever trade a guy who's a good luck, like if he's ever traded a good luck charm like a Ryan Anderson.
Stop it.
I mean, hey, look, you guys think this is a joke, this plus minus stuff.
Was he a good luck charm last year?
Yeah.
In the playoffs?
Yeah.
He was?
Yes.
Until the very end where he had a hurt foot.
Okay, how many series did they win?
One.
Yeah, thanks. They won a series thanks to Ryan Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they blow a series lead against the Spurs?
All I know is they got better and the luck stronger. And y'all can keep sleeping on Ryan Anderson's plus minus if you want to. But I just know this. Plus, what was he, 38 the other day? I think that was an NBA record.
How many points?
I'm almost positive.
No. NBA record was Chris Paul's 47 in the same game.
Yeah, well. Ryan was close.
You trying to steal Chris Paul's shine?
Yeah.
I just know this much. Ryan Anderson right now is shooting a red-hot 53% from three. So if
right
you,
in the last how
you
many games?
Think it's just in time.
I think 10, 20, I don't know.
You know what would have been great would to actually have this discussion as opposed to between me and you? It could have been you, John, and Jeff Van Gundy, but someone forgot to, you know.
That would have been awesome.
Now, oh, man. This is, you know, if I were a player, like if I were Steve Francis, this is the equivalent. What's this the equivalent to? Steve Francis showing up late in that Super Bowl. Remember when he went to the Super Bowl party and didn't come to the practice the next morning or showing up late to the practice? That's what this is for me.
No, this is more like Emmitt Smith losing his helmet. Or
no, but no, I'm saying
was it with Emmitt Jeff, or Thurman?
I mean,
Thurman Thomas.
Thurman
right?
Thomas missing and losing his
I'm
helmet.
Saying that, I'm saying for Jeff Van Gundy, things he's dealt with, like on his level.
Yeah, right. Oh,
am
yeah.
I Kelvin Cato? Do you think he's like, I told you, Kelvin, you're supposed to it's me showing up late to a practice.
Yeah. No,
or it's him calling my cell phone saying, hey, Kelvin.
Why do you think you're Kelvin Cato? You're more like Chris Dudley missing a practice.
No.
Because Kelvin started.
Yeah, I'm
you're more like his Chris Dudley.
No, I'm...
I mean, the guy is on ABC primetime doing games. It'd be like if Mike Breen didn't show up. Like, you're like the... Houston radio guy. You're like Chris Dudley
didn't
call him. No,
but he lives here.
Yeah, but you're like Chris Dudley to him.
No.
I mean,
he never had Chris Dudley, did he?
Yeah, I think he did. He had a relationship with Chris Dudley, but he was still Chris Dudley.
No.
Why Lance got to be Chris Dudley?
I'm a starter.
He's not Kelvin Cato. Kevin Cato was a starter.
I'm
he
a
likes
starter.
Kelvin Cato.
I lined him up for the show. I've got a morning radio show. I'm definitely a starter.
It'd be like if Mark Jackson was doing something on radio and said, hey, you want to join me? I'm doing this. And Mark Jackson never called him. You're his Chris Dudley.
Mm. I mean, I feel like Chris Dudley right now.
You should.
I feel like Jared Dudley.
Jared Dudley, maybe.
Yeah, because I'm not really getting around as quickly.
Yeah. No, and you got the headband on right now.
I wear headbands during the show, guys.
No. That was a headband move you just made.
God dang it!
All right. We'll pick it up on the other side.
You know who I wish we had right now?
Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah, Jeff Van Gundy. Here's my invitation. All right, Coach, thanks for joining us. Great stuff as always, and looking forward to your call coming up of the Rockets and the Pelicans or something, whatever next Rocket game you have. Thanks, Coach. What'd you think about that? Boy, tell us about Cleveland. Is LeBron quit on his team? Did the team quit on LeBron? How's this Rocket team different with Chris Paul? Is Ryan Anderson one of the greatest role players you've ever seen? These are questions we would have had.
You want to workshop your questions?
Yeah, I mean, this is terrible.
Can we have a Jeff Van Gundy impersonator
call?
Has
he answered you? He answered me. He's mad.
I think he's done with the show.
You just ruined a relationship with Jeff Van Gundy. Congratulations. Yeah.
Congratulations, Lance. Good morning.
That man got up and said, you know, I'm going to join the show. I like these guys. I'm going to talk to Chris Dudley and my Larry Johnson, I guess. I don't know who you would be, John.
Were you being kicked off Jeff Van Gundy's radio row?
Yes. Congratulations.
We got kicked off his radio row. Now I got to go back to Kolache Factory.
That's it.
Great. Time for me to tell you about Prime Social. The very best poker going on in the city of Houston right now is going on at Prime. And here's why. It's for a variety of reasons. I'm going to start with, first and foremost, that location is unbelievable. This is the nicest spot that you're going to find. It was formerly a really nice multi-million-dollar build-out restaurant. And that restaurant didn't work there. Well, guess what? Now, Prime, they took out a lot of the interior, redesigned some things, and this is absolutely a gorgeous spot. Secondly, they have cash games with 1 and 3. They have the small cash games going for you, so if you want to just step in after work or you want to take the afternoon off and say, you know what, I'm just going to duck in and go play some No Limit Hold'em at 1-3, a game that I can go and buy in for $200, they got you. Maybe you want to take advantage of one of their tournaments. They have two tournaments per day, noon and six, and they guarantee $66,000 in payouts every single week. You can do that. That's what I did on Super Bowl Sunday. I went in and played the noon tournament, as a matter of fact. They've got a great restaurant and bar situation and set up, great dealers, 29 TVs around 20 different tables. And if you're a high roller listening, they've got a room for you as well where you can play some high stakes poker. And that's all completely legal right here at Prime Social. Go to 7801 Westheimer. It's between Dunvale and Hillcroft. Stop in there and see Brent and Steve and all the guys and go enjoy yourself with a little game of poker with my boys over at Prime Social.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 819 ESPN 97.5. I'm going to retweet it because it is so good. But the football bad lip reading is out. Holy crap! That dude is some kind of. He is. You know, the NFL bad lip reading guy used to come up here and hang out here at 1560.
He would tape commercials with us. Yeah. He's on TV commercials, you can see. There's a Skinnet commercial with me, Frank, and Chance. And actually, people from the office were on it. Like, yeah. They submitted it and won $5,000 for the Skinnet commercial that appeared on ESPN. They were the winners. It was Chance and Kevin were the two guys. His name is Kevin. I'm not going to give his last name. But Kevin would just come up here. You would be able to pick him. If I gave you three people, you'd pick wrong on who this guy is. He has done his life now. He's written multiple books on the Beatles. He's written books on, he wrote a book on, or it's, I think it's partly a picture book. It's a coffee table book on microphones and the sound world and recording. It's kind of for, specifically for audiophobes, not phobes, audiophiles. He's got, I don't even know a lot of this stuff. Like Chance said, he went out, Chance and Frank, I've heard different stories. They've gone out to Los Angeles now. Somebody gave him this sweet $10 million house to just live in while he's producing some, or he's creating some HBO show right now, something like that. He's got a 3-year contract. Yeah. And then the bad lip read, it all started with that dumb, terrible song, Friday. Everybody knows it's Friday. He did a bad lip reading interpretation. You can't use the music or it's illegal. So he makes his own music and then he sings. Every voice you see on those are his voices.
His voice.
He does every voice on the bad lip syncing. And yeah, he's just a guy that would come up here every once in a while.
He's amazing. He is an amazingly talented dude.
They played piano on a Fiona Apple album one time. I mean, it's like, seriously, you would see him in his Converse shoes, and like, you wouldn't know Kevin.
No.
I swear.
Just a dude.
It is just crazy. Looks like,
yeah, he's so good. So good. So that's out. Scott McLuhan is a Brown. I talked to Zoe about him because Zoe is in charge of player personnel, and I was like, hey.
Zoe is Alonzo Highsmith.
Alonzo Highsmith. And I said, dude, Scott McLuhan was even hired by the Browns? What does that mean for you? And he's like, oh, no, he's helping us with the draft. The dude he's brilliant with players. He is awesome. He said, I welcome him. It's awesome to have him on board. Scott McLuhan is all about Baker Mayfield. He says he reminds me of a shorter version of Brett Favre. Tough guy. He can throw it. He's very confident, not afraid whatsoever. He's a battler. I know saying Brett Favre is a big name, and I was around him for a while, but this guy has talent. Have you broken down Baker yet?
Mm-hmm.
And where'd you have, what do you got Baker doing?
I'm third behind Darnold and Rosen, but truth be told, if you gave me, I gave a higher grade to Rosen, but I would take Baker ahead of Rosen. Like, you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to grade him for all 32 teams and everything, but I wouldn't touch Josh for, I don't think he's a leader I think Baker's a leader. So I would, if I had a choice of drafting, I would draft Darnold 1, Baker 2, Lamar 3, Rosen 4, and Josh Allen 5. Now, if I draft Lamar, I better have a plan because he's, you know, there's concerns. You better have a plan in place. You can't just stick him in any offense. And
right.
You know what I mean? And there's some things, some vetting. Like if his mom is handling his training and his, and she's his agent and his marketing rep, that's no good.
No.
That's no good because that could lead to, you don't want that's super into everything. We know that. So there's things that have to be vetted. But Baker's good. Baker can.
Well, how much do you put in to take into account Baker's, the volatility of a Baker?
Not much.
No.
Unless I hear something from a team, not much, because I haven't seen a consistent trend of, I haven't heard anything about a mispractice. I've heard nothing about drugs. I've heard nothing about an alcohol problem. These are all things I heard about with Johnny before the draft. Yeah. And really heard a lot more after the draft. Like, holy crap, this stuff didn't get out before the draft. Although teams knew.
Well, any guy that's got flares in his mouth and champagne bottles, you know what I'm saying? I think there's
riding on that goose or whatever that was. That inflatable. I think
there's a fear by NFL teams.
They see the scrambling, they see the size, and they see the little on-field swagger. But here's the difference. Baker, now Johnny was loved by most of his teammates, was not loved by the coaching staff. Baker is beloved by all of his teammates and all the coaching staff. He is about ball, and now I'm talking to people who know. He is about ball on Tuesday as well as Saturday. Johnny was about ball when he played. He loved to play. He didn't really love Wednesdays. That wasn't his thing. The prep time and putting the time in, that wasn't really his thing. And there's a lot of guys that are like that, you know? You have to try to weed those guys out. Baker Mayfield is about that stuff.
Mm.
So that's the big difference. That's one of the reasons I hesitate to make the comparison. Johnny was a better athlete and maybe even more electric with his improvisation. Like, Johnny was an electric improv talent. Baker's a good improv talent, but Baker can sit in a pocket and just say, oh, here's a throw I need to make. I'll just make this deep out. You know, I'll just make this, you know, this, I'll just make this dig route throw in front of a safety. And I know when to throw it on time. And I know, you know, how much velocity to put on it. He's incredibly accurate with deep ball, 53% over the last 2 years on throws 21 plus.
That's amazing.
Josh Allen has never had gone above 56% period in any one season. Baker's 53 in two seasons, 21 plus. That's
56, 56 on any throw. You're talking about Josh Allen.
I'm talking about all throws.
All throws. And Baker's 53 on throws of 20 plus.
Of 21 plus.
21 plus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, no, that's a huge difference.
Yep.
And accuracy. Now, if Baker was 6'4", 6'5"?
If Baker was 6'4", 6'5", I think he would be the first pick. He'd still have to fade the, you're in a system. And then he'd still have to fade the, is he Johnny? But I think the Johnny stuff will get answered fairly quickly if teams have any of those concerns. And the system thing, they're all coming from systems now. They're all coming from spreads.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Rosen ran a lot of RPOs. Sam Darnold ran some pro-style stuff. But I don't know that you're just going to have to work through that because most of the quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson did, you know. A lot of quarterbacks are coming from, you know, spread offenses. What are you going to do? Every once in a while when Baker wants to really try to air it out with, you know, with some good velocity, he will airmail it over a guy's head. So, you know, drive velocity is something he's got to work on. But in general, he's got enough heat on the ball. I think he'll fit. I think he can fit in a couple different types of offenses too.
Yeah. No. Like, the only problem is that height thing. Will he even measure out at 6 feet? That's a question, and that's a legitimate question. Although
I really thought he was maybe Chase Daniel, and that wasn't even a slam. I like Chase, a backup who might be able to be a starter, a scrappy smaller guy who could scramble and make things happen. But after this year, and you see, now it's a command of one offense. He's got great command of the Oklahoma offense, which is, you know, got some similarities built into what he did at Texas Tech, obviously, with Lincoln Riley is over there. But it's hard not to look at Baker for three straight years, I saw improvement this year. He stopped having plays. He stopped wanting plays to break down so he could scramble and throw and started winning from the pocket. Like, I saw him get better as a passer. So I thought he was maybe a fourth, fifth headed into the year, and now I'm like, worst, he's a second. Best, he's a top six pick.
If Scott McLuhan had his way, he'd be the number one pick of the Browns.
Mm-hmm. Scott McLuhan has been a general manager before, too.
Yeah. Yep. 828 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here. As I mentioned before, check out that sports map article.
Here's a text. Also, Baker Mayfield will be a disaster. Mark it down. Somebody, it's an agent who's listening. So thinks Baker's going to be a disaster. So
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, we'll find out. The Browns found out that they wasted the 15th pick overall on Johnny because of...
Was it 15?
Yeah. He was 15th overall, wasn't he?
When 20, I thought, maybe. And you know, it was the owner who's like, get Johnny! And Kyle Shanahan's like, what? Get Johnny! Because Kyle was the OC.
Maybe Johnny was 22nd or something.
Yeah,
or
I think whatever. He was in the 20s. Still, he went in the first.
Yeah,
you know who wouldn't have drafted Johnny? Texans. You know why?
You know who was...
Why would they not have drafted Johnny?
Because they're classy. You're damn right, they're classy. You know who else didn't draft Johnny that I thought was going to? Was Jerry Jones. He was perfect for Johnny. A Texas guy that was going to be able to come in here and save the Cowboy franchise. And look, he didn't draft him. And look where the Cowboys are. The Cowboys suck. Mm. And with that, let's go up to Dallas and check it out.
Speaking of people from Dallas that suck, is that what that segue was?
No. I just said the Cowboys suck, but you know what? You can throw in all of Dallas if you want. We can do that here, okay?
Well, it is cloudy and cold in Dallas this morning, but I can tell you one thing. The cars in Dallas bring more than they do in Houston, and I don't know why that law of gravity is true, but I've been doing it for 22 years, buying cars in Houston and selling them wholesale up in Dallas. And GiveMeTheVIN.com, We broke a new record last month, and you'll notice one of our main competitors is fixing to change their names. And I won't say who or what, but you'll see it. And your boy helped.
you got that job done. Congratulations, John Clay Wolf. GiveMeTheVIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com. And if you're going to sell your car, you want to know what it's worth. John Clay Wolf will give you that information that you can either use or, you know what? If the dealership isn't giving you the price that you want for your car that John Clay Wolf says, let John Clay Wolf buy your car and work through your dealership, right?
Yeah, just go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, put in your license plate number or your VIN number, and our system will spit out a number immediately. And then your buying rep will contact you with it throws a range instantaneously, like 27,000 to 28,200. But then we can come back within minutes and send after talking to you and give you the exact figure that we can pay. No. And you can take that to your dealership and show them, and we'll do an in and out with them or just pay you straight up.
That's it. GiveMeTheVIN.com. And if he can't match CarMax, he's going to give you $100. How's that? How's that? All you got to do is get to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Trucker Joe has been waiting. He wants to talk on the radio. Anybody else? Come on. You're welcome to get in here. What do you say, Trucker Joe?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Shortest wait time in the business.
That's
appreciate
it. Shortest wait times ever.
That's not true.
In the history of the business. It is true.
Hey, I know the Texans don't have a first or a second round draft pick. I know we got 2/3. And I also know we don't have a great history with those mid to late round draft picks. But I want to know, is it not a vote of confidence for the Texans to draft a quarterback, or should they focus on offensive line? That's what I want to know.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, with the third round, let's see how the board plays out. Like, I mean,
you got to get
Look, you got to get secondary. You got to get safety. You got to get cornerback. First of all, you got to see how free agency shakes out. And then you can reassess. So I would tell you that I think you can find guards in the third round. And then if you're not looking at center, which I'm not sure why, we're just going to assume Nick Martin is always going to be healthy. But
which is why you got Greg Mantz, though.
Yeah, you can find a tackle in the third, and you can find a guard in the third.
Greg Mantz has been a lifesaver. I think an underrated pickup by this team.
Undrafted free agent. I had a draftable grade on him. I thought, you know, he played five positions at Toledo. He was their MVP.
What, did he get hurt at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, he hurt his shoulder at the Senior Bowl. Yeah, good memory. But, yeah, I think you probably it's either going to be offensive line or secondary is my guess. You know, corner, safety.
Is Bill O'Brien capable of finding that?
Well, I don't know. Brian Gaines, the GM, I think they'll work together.
They're aligned.
Yeah, they're aligned. We'll see. I can tell you this. Brian Gaines was very influential and instrumental in a lot of those street free agent pickups where they grabbed guys off the scrap heap. Because he was pro personnel guy. He was the guy who did that. That's, you know, really, he was the one who has to organize a lot of those workout sessions every Tuesday. So Brian Gain is very good at that. And I think one of the areas that's been a strength is the Texans' ability to find that with the secondary. So, yeah, I think they can. He's a Parcells guy in general, so he's going to look for bigger, faster, stronger. I talked to Bill O'Brien at the Senior Bowl about if philosophy is going to change at all about finding players, and he just said, yeah, we want to have one uniform way of finding guys. We want to make sure that we are doing things all on the same page for all the positions and not mismatch players. We want everyone to – and that's kind of normal around the league, but the Texans have always been a little bit kind of mix and match. Like, there hasn't been a clearly defined – philosophy.
Well, we were talking about it before the show, you and I. There are guys that just love measurables, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Love that measure. What's his arm length?
You'll
get
coached up.
You know, what's his 40? What's his, you know?
Well, they want you to be able to play too.
Height, weight.
If your play level isn't what the next guy is, you're faster, bigger, stronger, then their belief is, a lot of people's belief is, it's really a lot in the league believe this, we have NFL coaching, we have NFL training staffs, we have NFL nutrition, we have NFL weight rooms. You will get better in the NFL. And this other guy may be maxed out on how good he can be, but this guy is going to get a lot better with coaching and with those elements.
Yeah. The question was Rick was pretty haphazard. It wasn't about measurables. It wasn't about, there was no one thing that you could point to that said, oh, because look at some of the guys that he drafted, some of the smaller, the UConn outside linebacker in the fourth round.
Gerardo Williams.
Oh my God. When I got on the field and I saw this guy, I was like, he couldn't stand up to a block. Any kind of run block.
Remember Otay's like, oh my God, he's so soft. You could see it right away.
And he's
away.
So small.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't stand up to any run blocking.
No.
And this was a real problem. Sam Montgomery. It was guy after guy after guy that you just went, what the hell were you thinking here?
You know, it's the ultimate in having a type. First of all, Nick Saban, he just recruits types to every position. And Bill Belichick. Now, Bill Belichick has changed over time some of his stuff. But some he won't change. Trey Flowers and Deatrick Wise look exactly the same. You know why? They're both from Arkansas. They're both long-armed, strong defensive ends. He didn't look for – they're the same body type as Chandler Jones, the same ones as Richard Seymour, same as Willie McGinnis. Tall, long arms, this is what I look for. In the interior, I'm going to have Malcolm Brown. I want sturdy. I want guys who can, you know, Vince Wilfork. And then I want my wide receivers – to have quickness. I want, you know, it just looks like he wants white wide receivers, I guess, is what. But what he wants, what he covets.
Well, he turned that. At some point, the racism set in because he used to have Deion Branch. He used to have some guys.
Small.
Yeah.
Small guys.
No, smaller, quick guys.
He doesn't
guys.
Like drafting wide receivers early. That's his other thing. But here's something he wants. He wants highly intelligent skill position players, and I'm going to include safeties in this one too, and to a lesser extent cornerbacks who are highly instinctive, because he wants guys that can think quickly and react quickly to the changes that are going on. Like, he wants wide receivers who have a feel, the same kind of feel as Tom Brady, for what a coverage looks like on option routes. And so they'll say, you know what? Tom likes this. I see this coverage. I'm going to run this route. And his offensive linemen, big and long on defense linemen. He likes guys like Kyle Van Noy, who he traded for because he's a certain body type. Mike Vrabel was a certain body type. And then he'll take an outlier and he'll say, I don't give a crap. Teddy Bruschi, I want Teddy Bruschi. Yeah, but he doesn't fit. Doesn't matter. He's got such a high football motor and competitive nature, and he was productive in college. Every once in a while, he'll go outside the norm and do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that they say his, I got to talk to a scout one time who told me, our draft board's like 40 players. It's super small. We cut it way down to these are Patriots. This is what a Patriot looks like. And he said, as scouts, we get to help gather the information, and then, you know, we're kind of out on elements of the process. It's Bill O'Brien and his guys who handle the rest of the process.
Bill Belichick.
I mean, Bill Belichick, yeah. And maybe it'll be like that with OB. I don't know.
Maybe, although you would hope that Brian Gain will play a bigger role in that than that.
Yeah, but maybe it will be Brian Gain, because Nick Caserio does that for Bill Belichick. It's the same kind of deal. They may have the same setup where it's OB and Brian Gain and whoever else is in the inner circle, and they may handle most of that, and the scouts will kind of be just information gatherers. I don't know.
Yeah. 713-780-3776.
Did you turn the air conditioner down?
What is wrong with you, Raheel? What the hell is wrong with you?
It's a meat locker in here now.
This is kind of funny here. Pro Football Focus has put out players 76 through 101 and some interesting names on it. And 76 through 101, would you think that Carson Wentz would finish 76 through 101?
Well, for Pro Football Focus, yes.
He finished 81st.
Yeah, sure. It sounds very Pro Football Focus-y.
Why?
Well, because they don't factor in clutch. They don't wait close and late. They only, you know, things that create a winning quarterback. It's just all the data is gathered like a baseball
game.
So they want to have as many home runs. I mean, they want to have they're looking for OPS, basically, is what they're looking for. And that's not what Carson Wentz was. He wasn't the most accurate quarterback out there. He made a lot of really good plays at big times.
And what he meant to his team.
Showed leadership, got the team to buy into a second-year quarterback. How do you measure that statistically?
But is after what you saw with Nick Foles, does it, and I don't want to take anything away from Carson Wentz, but obviously that Eagles team was a pretty damn good team. Was Carson Wentz's contribution all that when you saw what Nick Foles did with him? And especially against the competition that Nick Foles did it against?
I felt like he got them. I felt like something that, and this is not easy to quantify, but I think he got them to buy in early on in the process. I think he helped them believe in themselves as a team because he's got that level of confidence. And then I think it just carried over. There was a hiccup for Nick Foles the first couple games. Nick Foles had a hiccup when he came in, and they stumbled a little bit, and then they got it together. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a fair question to ask. I think it's fair.
I think it's fair, too.
Did we overestimate Carson Wentz? I think it's fair. We'll find out. I would have said, I could just opt to say, no, Carson Wentz. But, I mean, you know, based on the way Nick Foles played, I guess you could ask that question.
I think, and the other question is how pitiful was Jeff Fisher? When look at as soon as he left Goff and Foles, look at what they did. And Jen, they did nothing for Jeff Fisher. Nothing.
Nothing.
Time to talk about our peeps over at Renter's Warehouse right now. Renter's Warehouse is outstanding. Renter's Warehouse is the best in renting your home out. I don't even know that there's another company that will rent. I don't think there is. Who else is doing this? It's like Renter's Warehouse is the Coca-Cola or the Kleenex of renting out your house.
You think they'd be just gouging prices. Like, we're the number ones. You pay what we tell you to pay. And it's like super cheap. There are times where I think, how do they make
they're doing
money
volume.
Doing this?
They're doing volume.
Yeah. It's millions.
Yeah.
In terms of the houses they manage, the properties they manage, millions in the Houston area because of how much they're handling now.
It's spectacular. If you're looking for the best way to rent out that home for whatever reason, if you're, hey, you got to leave, you got to move. You got a new job. You can't stand your house anymore. It flooded and you don't want to live there anymore. Your commute's too long. Whatever it is, you don't want to live in your home anymore. Well, how about just renting out your home and don't take a loss on your home by selling it and get as much as you can every single month and then own that home after other people pay for it. That's the key to this whole thing. You still own the house while other people are paying your mortgage. All at renterswarehouse.com. Just call and find out. It takes a couple of minutes to find out how much your home will rent for. Give them your zip code. Give them your address, your zip code, and your square footage, and they'll tell you. It's that simple. 713-224-RENT or renterswarehouse.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 850 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Shortest wait times in the business. Guys, just called in, so let's get them in here. Jason wants to talk on the radio on the shortest wait times in history. What do you say, Jason?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
Doing well.
Hey, I appreciate y'all's conversation this morning about all the quarterbacks coming out, but I have a question that's a bit off topic. You know, we've seen a lot of quarterbacks, and not just quarterbacks, you know, players in college that choose to sit out during these bowl games. And my question would be, do y'all recall any baseball players that are prospects or anything like that that have, you know, committed to the draft that sit out during the College World Series or playoffs? Or is that not an option?
Well, did you see any players that sat out during the playoffs in football?
No, in baseball.
No, I know. But did you see any football players that sat out during the playoffs?
Well, I mean for college players particularly.
I understand. But if you're going to compare, you got to compare apples to apples. If you're in the College World Series in baseball, then you would compare that to the college football playoffs. And no players sat out during the college football playoffs.
You know, that's exactly right. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
That's a very good answer.
Bowl games are in large part. I talked to a coach years ago who said, man, I'll tell you, one of the hardest things is coaching a bowl game because you got all these guys, especially your good players, are the ones that are going to be like, Coach, I'm making a business decision here. I don't even want to play in this game. I don't even want to play in it because it really is meaningless. It's not. There's nothing on the line. And we saw with Smith from Notre Dame, the linebacker, tears up his knee. And now for in a game that didn't mean anything, and he's like he's got to sit out over a year to get back and to play pro ball, and he lost and where he was lost in the draft as well.
Wow.
You know, now as far as the college football playoffs go, we haven't seen anybody sit out. When we see a guy a big name sit out during the college football playoffs,
that's major.
Now you got a question mark, though.
You're going to take heat from teammates.
Yeah, you're going to take heat.
Because you're really letting down teammates. As it stands now, you might take some heat from some teammates, but ultimately, you can just always say, hey, let me send you a YouTube clip of Jalen Smith real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you're not that good, you should probably play.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can help your stock.
You're not a first-round guy.
And, oh, by the way, if you're not that good and you're not going to play in the college football playoffs, you know what? The scouts and coaches are going to say, this, what? Dude, you ain't good enough to sit down.
Lance, where was Jake Butt projected before he got hurt against Florida State in the Orange Bowl? Do you remember?
Jake Butt
he's plugging in his headphones.
Well, yeah, he is. Of course he is. Jake Butt, where was Jake Butt
projected? Before he got hurt.
So when I watched him, I didn't think he's not a great blocker, and he's not. I didn't think he's that great. I graded him without any injuries. I thought he was like a third rounder.
Okay, so you didn't have the highest opinion of him, but he was a third rounder.
Some people had. I think the media had him popped up there into the second, maybe.
Yeah, he was a fifth round pick after his injury.
Now he was. Now he did get hurt because of his injuries. Probably cost him a round.
Yeah.
Probably cost him a round.
He's a good football player.
But conversely, if you do well in a bowl game against good competition, so when I watch players, I watch them against their best competition. Why would I watch them against bad teams? What good does that do for me? So if you're playing a good team, like I don't have the game, but I want to go watch, wasn't it West Virginia and Oklahoma State? Who did Oklahoma State play in the bowl game?
No, West Virginia.
They're in the same conference.
That's right. Was it Arizona?
Oklahoma State played somebody that they shouldn't have been playing. They kicked their ass.
But there was there's a corner or a defensive back that I wanted to see against Oklahoma State.
They beat Virginia Tech.
Yeah. Brandon Faison, I think is how it's pronounced. Greg Stroman. There are all these guys. I don't have the tape, but I wanted to see those DBs because they've got a bunch of DBs who are going to get drafted this year take on the Oklahoma State quarterback and wide receivers. I wanted to see that. That's an example of, man, I want to see good on good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking for. What do I care about what Oklahoma State does to Baylor? I'm not even going to watch anything that Mason Rudolph throw. I don't want to see one throw against Baylor. It's irrelevant to me. That's terrible.
Right.
What do I care about that?
You want to see OU? You want to see...
Yeah, I want to see... And really OU's defense. Yeah, okay. I want to see Texas has got a couple of guys who are coming out. I want to see West Virginia.
You know,
West Virginia is always pretty talented in the secondary. You know, those are the guys I want to see. I watch Oklahoma. Yeah, I'll watch that. TCU will give you a good game, but they're not going to have pros usually in the secondary, not many.
No, but they're going to play good defense.
Yeah, they'll play good defense. Yeah. Like I'll look at that. I like to look at that for quarterbacks because Gary Patterson will give you a look and see how quarterbacks handle that look.
Right.
Actually, did Mason Rudolph do any good in that game?
Against TCU? No, that was a low-scoring game.
It was for Oklahoma State, it was 30-21.
Yeah.
That was the final. I don't have the box
because Gary will give you a test. Yeah, well, Mason Rudolph threw two touchdowns, two interceptions.
Yeah, he turned the ball over
53%,
and he fumbled too in that football game.
That's a little bit. And
how many times did he fumble in that game?
I don't know, he's a fumble fest.
He's got tiny baby hands.
He doesn't have little baby hands.
This
is how big his hands are.
Hey, guys.
You think that he's some kind of a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Hey, guys, my hands.
He's not. Doesn't have little baby hands.
Yeah, he's like, if I remember correctly, he's the guy that just like, he'll like pump fake and the ball will come flying out of his hand. He just can't hang
He did have a fumbling problem.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why that hand size matters to teams. And I think actually No, I know that everyone was taking a look at Baker Mayfield's hand size they wanted to see, and then it came in at like 9.5, which is okay.
Which is pretty good. All right, 713-780-3776 to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, you're more than welcome to do that.
When we come back, we're about to go to Sports Map. When we come back, so the Rockets have – Charlie Polillo talked about this in the little Charlie Makes Everyone Smarter segment that we play. Mm-hmm. And he talked about the trade deadline. I want to get into whether or not you think the Rockets do anything with trade, and then specifically the point guard position. It's pretty interesting what Charlie brought up. It's 8:57.
You want to talk about that? I want to talk about baseball odds and who's likely to win the World Series. Can we do that instead, as opposed to that happened yesterday when we went to talk Rockets.
All right, we'll talk.
Talk baseball odds and likely to win the World Series?
Yes, if that's what you want to do, Mr. Baseball.
Thank you.
That's fine. We'll do that. I know this much. You can make a phone call quickly. You know, we have the shortest hold times in the game, in the radio
gimmick infringement.
But
you don't actually, but whatever.
But Men's T Clinic has it right there in the testosterone world. You give them a call right now. They're ready to take your call. 713-568-1175. 713-568-1175. They'll take your call. They can get you directed in the right direction in terms of locations if you want to. There's a Cypress area location at 290 in Barker Cypress. You've got 1801 Durham and I-10 there in the Heights. And then the brand new location at Discovery Bay and 288 in Pearland. Three locations, bang up business at the first two, and Pearland is going to really pick up and get brisk as well because men who are suffering from low testosterone can get fixed and can get right. at Men's T Clinic. When they get your testosterone levels balanced out to where they're supposed to be, your energy level spikes, your libido can spike, your drive and desire for your workouts or your workplace or just living your life on the weekends, all those things can really change. And you lift that funk that's over you and you get back to being the real you. That's a big, big deal. If you're kind of in that funk, you know it. You know it if you can't get rid of that belly fat that you used to be able to get rid of with workouts. You know it if you're not having the same feelings of drive and energy at your workplace. Make the phone call today, 713-568-1175, or go to menstclinic.com.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.